This is the Patriots Postgame Show with Adam Jones on Patriots.com Radio. The Patriots Postgame Show is your source for instant news and reaction following every Patriots game. Join the conversation by calling the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com. Now, live from the Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios inside Gillette Stadium, here's your host, Adam Jones.
Welcome into the Patriots postgame show here on Patriots.com. Adam Jones following the Patriots' second loss of the season, 25-17 in Pittsburgh. This is a frustrating one for Patriots fans. We came in with a lot of questions about the Pittsburgh Steelers. Were they legit? As a 5-2 team coming in, not very many convincing wins. Their most convincing win had been against Tennessee prior to this one. Patriots with all kinds of past success against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Can throw it all out the window after that performance today as Pittsburgh moves to 6-2. Patriots drop to 5-2. So in the grand scheme of things, the AFC playoff picture gets a little more muddled for the New England Patriots. And it also wasn't Bill Belichick's finest day. Something we'll get to here over the course of the Patriots postgame show. Some second guesses for Belichick late in the course of that program. In the course of that game, where Bill Belichick elects to not review at the end of that football game, the Rob Gronkowski touchdown with about 4:10 left. Could have saved the Patriots some extra time. Maybe they're not as backed up at the end of the game in terms of using their timeouts. Maybe you don't feel as pressured to go for the onside kick, which is another second guess at the end of that football game for Belichick. Has three timeouts plus the two-minute warning and elects to kick off, neglects to kick off and decides to go for the onside kick late in that football game. Pittsburgh winds up getting the first down anyway, but if nothing else, it shows a pretty severe lack of faith in that New England defense. And look, I know we've talked about this a lot on the postgame show. A football life, Bill Belichick. Remember after 4-2, he told the guys in the meeting room following that loss that, look, outside of this organization, you're going to hear a lot about, I don't have any faith in this defense, and there's going to be a lot of second-guessing, and he told you to turn out the noise, or told the Patriots to tune out that noise. And I wonder if he's going to have a similar message in this case for the Patriots defense, because I don't know, that's the way it looked to me for Bill Belichick. Didn't have any faith in that defense. It's the only reason you onside kick it there. If you have faith in your defense, then you're kicking off, and you expect to pin them deep, and maybe get the football back with a shorter length of the field. Instead, he decided to go for the onside kick. We'll hear from you over the course of the Patriots postgame show. 508-298-0398. You can email us webradio@patriots.com. And we want to kick this off as we do each and every Patriots postgame show with our good, bad, and injured. Not a lot of good for the New England Patriots today. Gary Guyton with a game-turning interception when the Patriots were down 10-0. Allowed the Patriots to get back in there, score on a short field. Brady was able to find Deion Branch, so he's at the top of the good list for me. Patriots red zone defense, actually pretty good in this football game as well. Part of the reason Patriots were able to hang around, held the Steelers to just 2 touchdowns in 5 trips into the red zone, one of the major reasons why Pittsburgh couldn't put away the Patriots and struggled to put away the Patriots in this one. I also thought Kevin Faulk had a nice first game back for the New England Patriots. Very involved, got the start for the team. 6 carries, 32 yards, also had 5 catches. Was key in blitz pickup, though Brady was under pressure a lot throughout the game, so I thought it was a good first game back for Kevin Faulk. He was on my good list as well. The bad list, a little more extensive here today, Kevin. Secondary, ugly, right from the start, specifically in that first half. Roethlisberger on the day, 36 of 50, 365 yards, 2 touchdowns, picked apart the Patriots' defense. On third down, the Steelers were 10 for 16, and there were some long third down conversions. 2 stuck out in my mind, that 3rd and 15, where Emmanuel Sanders converted right in front of Devin McCourty, 17-yard catch. And then 3rd and 12, next drive, Antonio Brown beats Pat Chung. Difficult matchup for Chung as a safety trying to match up on Brown, but those were 2 3rd and longs that really jumped out. The offensive line struggled throughout in this one for the Patriots. Not a ton of sacks for the Pittsburgh Steelers, 2, both for Lamar Woodley, but a lot of pressure on Tom Brady over the course of the game. And also Steven Gostkowski, terrible day for him. And at halftime, we're sitting there going, man, big kick right before the half for Steven Gostkowski, but comes out in the second half, missed a 42-yarder that the Patriots absolutely needed at that point, and then also muffs the onside kick at the end of the football game. So a tough day for Steven Gostkowski as well. Only injured Patriot in this one, Sean Ellis, left the game with a rib injury, did not return. The other one I would keep an eye on is Tom Brady. You see him continuing to wear a wrap on that right elbow, just have his elbow looked at as it was in the Cowboys game, didn't practice over the course of the bye week. So not that he was hurt per se, but something to monitor with Tom Brady, who I did not think had an awful game today, just didn't have a lot of opportunities. You know, Pittsburgh held the ball for nearly a 2-1 margin, 39 minutes to the Patriots, 21 minutes over the course of the game. Steelers ran 78 plays. Patriots ran 50. Patriots just didn't have the football, so it was tough for the Patriots and Tom Brady to have a big day. Again, the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. You can email us, webradio@patriots.com. Let's start working our way through some of these phone calls. We'll kick it off with Dagmar down in Miami. You're first up here on the Patriots postgame show. What's up, man?
What's up, Benny Adam?
How you doing?
Not so good. First of all, Patrick Chung is good against the run. Covering, he flat out doesn't do the same job. Okay? For those who believe Patrick Chung is a solid player, stop dreaming. Wake up, okay? Second spot, this guy, number 93, Andre Carter. Mm-hmm. I think he did an awesome job in the first half. I mean, this game, you cannot put it differently. You cannot put it on the defense. Not on the defense, baby. 25 points only, okay? Why did the offense score 17? You got to look up to these offense and say, what are you doing on the field? You know, you cannot expect from a defense that you put for so long in the game to come and give you a game back. You have the ball with the offense. You are supposed to score, not your defense, okay? The defense, they hang up in there. They kept the Patriots in the game. For most of the people want to say, oh, because the defense cannot cover. I know. You know what? I cannot take when you have 5 yards for a first down. I cannot tolerate a defensive back playing 6 yards, 8 yards away from the receiver. I mean, Wallace and Brown were running free all night long. I mean, guys, did you watch game? Did you watch the tapes during these 2 weeks? Did you do that? I don't think they did that. Because these two guys, they were running free all over the field. On that tight end, they did the same. He did the same, all of them. You have to, I mean, even though they made those mistakes repeatedly, you cannot blame this game on the defense. Offense, hey, when your passing game is not going, you got to turn to your running.
Yeah.
If you cannot run the ball, then you make sure your passing game is accurate.
Yeah, Dagmar, I would agree with you on some of that. And thanks for the phone call, 508-298-0398. That's the Ace Ticket Hotline. I know our producer, Kevin Collins, feels the same way, that the offense is the reason the Patriots lost this game. They certainly share a slice of the pie. And Dagmar's absolutely right. When you need to come through with some drives in that football game, offense didn't do it. They started out with a 3-and-out. They couldn't convert early on in that second half. You left some points out on the football field when Gostkowski missed the field goal. I understand all of that. It's hard for me to sit here and say the defense played great, though, today. They held in the red zone. It's why they were on the good list. But that secondary got picked apart, couldn't get off the field on third down. It's hard for me to sit there and say the defense had a banner day by any stretch of the imagination. And I think if you gave them the truth serum, Bill Belichick would agree with you. It's why he elected to go for the onside kick.
It is what it is.
At the end of the football game, instead of kicking off and trusting his defense. Even he didn't trust his defense at the end of that football game.
It's,
I think,
so
that
ridiculous.
Is a takeaway. You think it's ridiculous? Is that what you think, Bill? Deciding to kick off at the end of that football game, or neglecting to kick off, I
it's
should
a say, joke.
At the end of that football game. So, shadows of 4th-and-2. Certainly not as polarizing as that decision. The game didn't quite mean as much in the grand scheme of things. But there are some shadows of that. Just the decision for Belichick to try to get the ball back to his offense instead of trusting the defense. 508-298-0398. You can email us, webradio@patriots.com. It's where Brandon writes in. Adam, I really don't know what to say right now. This defensive line played good. Everyone else, I think, should invest in some skirts and pom-poms because they played like a bunch of girls. We can't blame anything on Brady or the offense because they didn't have the ball long enough to do anything. Steelers did whatever they wanted on the defense. Never seen the defense get beat on passing and rushing. Hope this was because of the bye week, because if they do this again next week, you can kiss the playoff run goodbye. Again, that's Brandon writing in. That's a little harsh. I mean, I think the Patriots are going to be a playoff team regardless of what they showed today. Remember, they bounced back pretty well from a terrible performance last year against Cleveland on the road. So they've shown that they can put some of these losses behind them. I am surprised, and I thought Brandon just hit on this, coming off the bye week, This Patriots team came out flat, and that surprises me, given how well they've generally played coming out of the bye week under Bill Belichick. First drive for the Steelers, 11 plays, 68 yards, touchdown. What do the Patriots do on their first drive? Three plays, punt. Second half, same idea. You can make it a one-score game, three plays, punt. The only two three and outs for the Patriots on the day set the tone in each half, one to start the game and one to start the second half. And to me, that's a bit of a scary trend in this game. Patriots come out of the bye week, they don't respond, and there was some second-guessing going on for Bill Belichick in a day where his defense did not have a banner day. And they had a couple of good days going into the bye. The Jets game, the Cowboys game, certainly those offenses and the play callers in each of those, be it Brian Schottenheimer or be it Jason Garrett. I think they shared some of the blame, some of the responsibility in making that Patriots defense look good. But I thought especially the Cowboys game was more about the Patriots defense. This is a step back for that D. And Ben Roethlisberger spread you out today, threw all over the football field. And I thought he would be able to have success through the air, but not like this. And you saw those small, quick Steelers receivers, a good matchup for that Patriots secondary. Long day for them. And look, brings you back to that Lee Bodden move as well. We've gotten a little bit of this on the emails at webradio@patriots.com. Would Bodden have put him over the top and won him this game? Probably not. But would Bodden have got demoted like Antoine Molden did? That move is a bit of a head-scratcher to a number of Patriots fans. And it certainly, for 1 week, doesn't look like a good one for the Patriots. 508-298-0398. That's the Ace Ticket Hotline. You can email us, webradio@patriots.com. Let's go to Tyrone in Delaware. You're next up here with Adam Jones. Hey, Tyrone.
Yeah, how you doing, sir? I'm going to make my things real quick.
Okay.
I don't blame the defense, really, because they kind of kept us in the game. The reason I'm looking at the game, the reason why our offense, I've been saying this since the Buffalo game. We just don't have enough talented wide receivers. The tight ends are okay. But they want to keep Branch in 06. We let him go. But he's over the hill. I mean, I love him. But we should have kept him in 06. Now he's done. Ocho Cinco was a mistake. We're not getting no separation. But Steelers are wide receivers getting separation. You can't really blame the defense. Who put the defense together? Bill Belichick. A lot of bad personnel. I've been saying this for years. A lot of bad personnel decisions, man. And we're not going to win like that. We don't have nobody on the outside to make separation. And that's why we lose it. And you know what they saw on the film? They saw on the film, yo, we could play these wide receivers man to man. You can't play the Packers offense. The old wide receivers.
Yeah, I was at the game.
Nor the Eagles. So that's why we having this problem. The tight ends are okay, but other than welcome the wide receivers, we don't got nobody else. And that's why we're going to continue to lose. We didn't fix this problem. And it's over and over these personal decisions, man. And one thing, if I may,
sure.
Can I make a suggestion on Marcus Cannon real quick?
Sure.
You know, God bless his soul. I know he got that cancer, whatever the case may be. But ask yourself this question. If he wasn't sick, right, he was a first-round talent. We don't take nobody on the first round. So I'm kind of thinking we're exploiting this dude because he's cold. We want to pick him if he wasn't sick because he's a first-round talent. So, I mean, it's just these stupid personality decisions. I'm tired of it. You guys have a good day.
Yeah, man. Tyrone, you as well, man. I don't know how the Cannon thing totally fits into it, but thanks for the phone call. Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Your emails go to webradio@patriots.com. On the wide receivers, a major second guess for Belichick in terms of drafting is where are the young wide receivers on this roster? How have they developed? Chad Jackson didn't work out. Taylor Price does not appear to be working out. So that's a criticism for the Patriots in their drafting. This was a disappointing day for Ocho Cinco. One target in the football game. Low number of snaps for Ocho Cinco. Don't have the official snaps in front of me right yet, but we'll get them to you once they become official. Disappointing day for him. I spent a lot of time on this, talking about it during the week on ESPN Boston Radio, noon to 2 on ESPNBoston.com. Bookmark that. Spent a lot of time talking about how this was the week for Ocho Cinco. If you were ever going to break out, if you were ever going to come through, this was the week. Think about everything he had in his favor. Coming off the bye week. All right, so just an extra week to clear his head, get caught up on the playbook, what have you. So that's one. He's gone against the Steelers twice a year for every year of his career, spent his entire career in the AFC North before coming to New England. So he's familiar with that defense. And also, you expected this matchup to be a bit more three wide receiver sets, four wide receiver sets, a bit more of the Patriots really spreading out that Steelers defense. I thought they did. They went with the tight ends more than I anticipated coming into this one. But all of those factors combined, I thought we'd see Ocho Cinco, or I at least thought there was the potential to see Ocho Cinco flash, and he didn't. And what that tells me is this is what Ocho Cinco is going forward. No more, when's he going to break out? Because it's not going to happen. And if he does, it'll be against a weak part of this schedule. The Broncos, you know, the Dolphins, like some of these other matchups coming up for the New England Patriots. I thought this was really the last chance to say, okay, is Ocho Cinco going to continue to get an expanded role, a greater role in this offense, or is this it? And I don't know. I'm at the breaking point with him saying this is it. 508-298-0398. That's the Ace Ticket Hotline. You can email us, webradio@patriots.com. Let's go to Kevin in Reading. You're next up here on patriots.com. What's up, Kevin?
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Yeah,
you know, I don't get worked up about the D because going into the season, we were hoping it would be average. It's turned out it's not average. All you can really do is hope they come together by the end of the season and they become average. But the offense and some of the other comments callers had my same idea where this two wide receiver, two tight end, there's no explosiveness. Welker had a first four or five games. He had a couple of big plays. And I think it kind of hit the problems. You come against three good teams that have good defensive players and they have good defensive coaching. And there's no explosive wide receiver. And the tight ends, they're great. They get into open spaces and they can make plays, but there's no explosiveness. So, you know, when you have a good team, they can just cover 15, 20 yards, hold you down, and you're not getting any big plays. There's no big plays. I don't know. What do you think?
No, I mean, I think the explosiveness or the lack thereof is pretty glaring, Kevin, and thanks for the phone call, 508-298-0398. And that's something that we've talked about a little bit during the week on ESPN Boston Radio. I think that is an underrated aspect of this offense. And we've talked about it more in general terms, looking at the Patriots' last two postseason exits, right? Baltimore in 2009, the Jets last year. Do they have that explosive guy outside the numbers who can make plays on a secondary? And they don't. I think that's apparent at this point. You know, they have Wes Welker underneath. They have the tight ends who can make those plays. You see Branch a little bit on the outside, not a ton out of him in this football game today. Ocho Cinco was brought in to be that guy. And you haven't seen it. So what you get out of this Patriots defense is you are lacking that quick score, that quick strike ability that we've seen in the past. And look, not to make them out like they're some middle-of-the-road offense. This is still an elite offense in the NFL. But they've shown you, if you take away the middle of the field against the New England Patriots, they have some trouble stringing together those long drives. And if Welker and the tight ends are taken away across the middle, do they have the kind of playmakers on the outside to move down the football field? And I think today was a bit of a referendum on that. That's been a question for me looking at this Patriots offense. I think it's nitpicking. I think it's a nitpick with that Patriots offense, but I do think it's a legitimate question. And in a game like today, you saw that lack of explosion on the outside came back to bite the Pats. 508-298-0398. That's the Ace Ticket Hotline. That's where Olivier gets in touch here on the Patriots postgame show. What's going on?
Black man, how are you?
Doing well, man.
Well, listen, I've just finished watching the game. I have to say, we deserve to lose. I'm happy we lost, even though I'm really angry that we lost. But we got to realize that, you know, hopefully, you know, it's not because we had a bye week that we can expect to win the next week. I think these days are long over ever since we've had bye week and we've lost in the playoffs. And hopefully, maybe we've learned our lesson. Maybe this, you know, Coach Belichick will be able to use this loss and this really poor performance, both on offense and defense, to get those guys to be motivated. And hopefully when we meet the Steelers again, we'll know how to beat them. I prefer to lose this game than to lose the next one in the playoffs. What do you think?
Well, I can tell you this, Olivier, and thanks for the phone call, 508-298-0398. I can tell you this. They did not deserve to win that football game. You're absolutely right about that. And the Patriots hung around in this game, but we gave you the numbers right off the bat. I mean, the Steelers just remained on the football field the entire time. You know, they ran or had a 2-1 margin in terms of time of possession. And there were also, what, 88 plays, 78 plays in that football game, I should say, 78 plays for the Steelers to 50 for the New England Patriots. They just had the football much more. You know, the yard differential staggering, 427 to 213. And again, when you put it in perspective, oh, okay, they held the ball about 2-1. They had about twice as many yards as the Patriots. I think that sums up this game to an extent. But yeah, I don't look at this and say the Patriots deserve to win that football game at any point. They were hanging around. A play here and a play there, they could have won the football game, but I don't think they deserved to. And, you know, for me, I look at it and go, okay, it's more about this defense. And I get what people are saying, that the offense let them down. But big picture, that's what everybody's worried about. That's where the question should be. And I think Bill Belichick today told you how he views that defense when he decided to go for the onside kick at the end of the game. Also, something that we talked about earlier, and I do want to hit on, the decision not to review that touchdown on Gronkowski came with 4 minutes, 10 seconds left. Patriots wound up losing, what, a minute and a half in that football game? Makes those timeouts that much more important. And I get the concern from Belichick. Okay, if we lose a timeout on a challenge at the one-yard line, is that a smart way to do business? And he didn't want to risk it. But it turns out, in retrospect, Gronkowski, pretty clearly in the end zone, would have saved the Patriots some time in that game. And ultimately, if you use all your timeouts and the Steelers pick up a first down, doesn't come back to bite you quite as hard because you have a little more time to play with at the end of the football game. You're not quite as backed into a corner. So those are some of the second guesses for Bill Belichick today, who was at the podium earlier. And we'll get you that sound coming up here in about 10 minutes on the Patriots postgame show here on Patriots.com. I'm Adam Jones, live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. Here's how you get in touch. Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Your emails go to webradio@patriots.com. Let's go to John in Detroit. You're next up here on Patriots.com. Hey, John.
Hey, Adam. How's it going?
Doing well, man.
Yeah, I'm not happy at all. I mean, the previous caller said that he was glad that the Patriots won. I'm not happy at all. I hate losing, and I think that if you look at the Patriots' schedule this year, this is a very critical period in their season. I mean, this game and the next couple are potential losses, and then after that, the schedule gets kind of soft. So I think this is a bad, you know, a very bad loss. Obviously, the Steelers were hungrier than the Patriots from you know, the start of the game to the finish. And I'm very, very upset with the whole situation.
Yeah.
I probably shouldn't take it so seriously, but I do, you know, and I'm a fan.
No, and John, and thanks for the phone call, 508-298-0398. Look, on the loss, it's not a bad loss in that it's not a bad football team on the other side of the field. I think that's the first thing to, you know, come to grips with after this game. Like, it's a team the Patriots traditionally beat up on. Brady had only lost to him once in his career back in 04, and they ultimately atoned for that game in the AFC Championship game. Patriots also lost to the Steelers in 08 when Matt Castle was the quarterback, but I don't know if we really count that one. With Brady as the quarterback, one loss to the Steelers, including some wins in the AFC Championship game. They're a team that you had your way with. And I said right off the top of the show, we came into this week asking a lot of questions about the Steelers. How legit are they? You know, they had 5 wins, but their 2 losses were against teams over 500, including getting their doors blown off week 1 against the Baltimore Ravens. You know, their opponents were 7-24 combined, or the teams they had beat were combined 7-24. Coming into this week, so it's not like they had beaten anyone good. Teams like Seattle, Tennessee was their best win coming into this week. So there were some questions about Pittsburgh. So the first thing I'd say is, look, it's a good team that beat you today. But it's so disappointing given the Patriots' history of success against the Steelers team and just the feeling that they really never showed up until late in that game, right, Kevin? Like, this is something we talked about. And I don't know. For me, there's remnants of that Cleveland game last year. I know this one was closer. And the Patriots ultimately got back into this football game and at least hung around at the end of the game. But it just felt like Cleveland because they took so long to get into it. And Pittsburgh came right out, marched down the field. Patriots go 3 and out. Pittsburgh comes back and scores again, although it was a field goal. So give the D some credit for holding there. But I don't know. This was just one that never felt like the Patriots were in it, even despite the final score, 25-17, as the Patriots fall to 5-2. Let's continue with the phone calls, 508-298-0398. We go to Taylor out in Sacramento. You're next up here on the Patriots postgame show. Hey, Taylor.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing well.
hey, you know, I know the stats support the Patriots doing good coming off bye weeks, but, you know, recently we haven't. And I think, to tell you the truth, I hate to make, you know, excuses here. We suck, plain and simple. But, you know, the bye week has not helped us for some reason. And I think it's just because of the age of our team. I know we have some younger guys, but it seems like when they have some time off, they need time to ramp up again, you know? It seems like we do better week to week without the bye week. And I think that, you know, if we lose a few games and we don't win the division this year, I don't think that will hurt us come playoff time, because that bye week could just kill us again like it did last year. And, you know, I just need something to make it seem like it's different from last year, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, and the whole thing is, you know, when will the Patriots realize that Belichick can't do the defensive coordinator thing anymore? I mean, he's a great head coach. Don't get me wrong. I love Belichick. But seriously, there needs to be a defensive coordinator or something to help us with the defense. He can't do it all by himself.
Yeah, I mean, Taylor, I go back and forth on that. Thanks for the phone call, 508-298-0398. That's the Ace Ticket Hotline. I don't know if this is a coordinating issue with the Patriots. I think it's a talent issue defensively. So I don't know how much of that is Belichick as defensive coordinator. Certainly, he wears a lot of hats with the Patriots. But I think for all intents and purposes, we know Matt Patricia is handling a lot of those defensive duties, right? And maybe he'll pick up the title at another point. But, you know, for me, I wouldn't second-guess Belichick specifically as defensive coordinator as much in this game here today. But that whole bye week thing to me is interesting, because I still think it's important. I still put stock in the bye week, and I'd like to see the Patriots get a bye going into the postseason. It's part of the reason why this was a crushing loss for the Patriots in that regard. And maybe crushing is too strong of a word. But a significant loss for the Patriots in terms of the AFC playoff picture certainly muddles things up in terms of the Patriots trying to pick up a bye week, or at least trying to be that number one overall seed in the AFC. So that was an issue with losing this football game. But I'm shocked. I don't know. I mean, I know people have cited this a couple of times, Patriots coming off the bye in that postseason loss to the Jets last year. And maybe there was some of that in this game. But I'm shocked the Patriots came out after a bye and just took so long to really show up in this Pittsburgh game. That's surprising to me, at least. 508-298-0398. That's the Ace Ticket Hotline. You can email us, webradio@patriots.com. We continue to break down this loss in Pittsburgh for the Patriots. 25-17 drops New England to 5-2 on the season. And you'll hear from Patriots head coach Bill Belichick next, right here on the Patriots postgame show.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800-MY-SEATS.
Dear business traveler who's flying away, you can get more out of your working day with plush leather seats, including legroom galore, to stretch out your knees, feet, and more. Plus 36 channels of DirecTV in your seat gives you something to watch once work is complete. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Edwin, and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand at JetBlue.com/business. Based on the average fleet-wide seat pitch of U.S. Airlines, DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
Droid. Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Verizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
That is the metaphorical sound of you hitting your head against the wall in your search for the perfect brand new car. Let's chalk it up to the fact that you didn't know AutoTrader.com even had new cars. See, AutoTrader.com lets you compare new cars side by side, even special offers, so your head and heart can both get what they want. Say your heart wants a sporty 2011 coupe, but your head wants the best deal in town. Bingo! A never been owned before coupe that your head and heart can both agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go Pats!
I
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this when you're ready.
Oh, here you go.
Go Pats!
Indeed, go Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. An account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Welcome back to the Patriots Postgame Show, live from the Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios inside Gillette Stadium. Have an opinion on today's game? Call the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com. Now, live from the Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios, here's your host, Adam Jones.
508-298-0398, that's the Ace Ticket Hotline. You can email us, webradio@patriots.com. It's the Patriots postgame show here on patriots.com, live from our Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios inside Gillette Stadium. I'm Adam Jones. Join you here after each and every Patriots game. Been a lot of wins so far this season, just the second time Patriots have fallen, as they're now 5-2 after their 25-17 loss today in Pittsburgh. Did want to work our way through some of these emails before we get to Belichick at the podium. Ron writes in to webradio@patriots.com. Adam, I agree. Bill should have kicked it off instead of an onside kick. He had three timeouts plus the two-minute warning. As thin as the secondary is, why release Bodden at the eve of the Steelers game? I know BB is arguably the best coach in the NFL ever, but sometimes he outsmarts himself. So let's address the first part first. For me, no-brainer. Can't onside kick it there. And Nance said it on the broadcast, and I turned to Kevin and Matt LePan, our two guys behind the scenes here, and I go, is he serious saying the Patriots are going to onside kick it? They're not going to onside kick it. They're going to kick it deep. They have three timeouts plus the two-minute warning. You want to get the ball back with some field. And Nance was right. They onside kicked it. I couldn't believe it. And for me, totally, that was my exact feeling. I go, what are you doing? So, you know, not a great day for Belichick on that, and also not the challenge. And it sounds like, and we'll hear from Belichick in a little bit, but just following some of the tweets, it sounds like Belichick sort of threw either the officials under the bus or whoever was waiting to find that replay. You know, Belichick just said, I still haven't seen it. I don't know if he was in or not. So that seems to be throwing somebody else under the bus in that case. But a couple of second guesses for Belichick. Certainly could have saved himself some time at the end of the football game. On Bodden, that's a weird one for me. And we spent some time talking about it on ESPN Boston Radio on Friday. And this will be something you go back and look at and say, okay, what's that? Throwing him under the bus? That's what that is, Kevin?
No, that's when you toot your own horn.
Oh, that's what
that is. Promoting yourself
24/7. Oh, okay. No, I thought that was Belichick throwing someone under the bus. Oh, yeah. I can keep promoting. We're not done with that. But on Bodden, I think it's I'll put it to you like this. Lee Bodden's out there. He's not getting toasted and losing his job like Antoine Molden. Let's say that. So we don't know what was going on behind the scenes from Bodden, other than the fact that he was grousing about having to play the slot and being in nickel corner and not happy with his role. But I don't know. Is that the reason you cut bait with him? Because today I think the Patriots paid for it on some level. Antoine Molden was benched for Phillip Adams because he was so bad in that football game. So, I don't know. If you kept Antoine Molden around, if you kept Lee Bodden around, maybe you wouldn't have backed yourself into that corner. So that's a second guess as well. Over the course of the week, the timing of it was so weird. 2 days before the Patriots game. Why then? You had the whole bye week to look at it and make a decision. Could have cut him at the beginning of the bye week. So it leads you to believe that something behind the scenes went wrong with Lee Bodden. And I'm sure that'll leak out over the course of this week. I wouldn't be surprised, especially given a loss, if that leaks out at some point this week. Let's get back to the phones. 508-298-0398. That's the Ace Ticket Hotline. Tim's down in Pensacola, Florida, and you're next up here on Patriots.com. What's up, Tim?
Hey, Adam. Two real quick things. First, I want to say you were right as far as Andre Carter was. I'm not sure you remembered, but a couple of weeks ago I called and said our pass rush doesn't have that burst. And looking at Carter these past two games, I think he does have the burst. So I wanted to credit you with that even in the face of the loss.
Appreciate it, man.
The second thing I need you to talk me off the ledge a little here. our offense is fine. We're going to get into the playoffs. I'm not concerned about the regular season. This was an aberration. But the thing is, our passing game doesn't have any kind of deep threat whatsoever. I know occasionally Welker will go 99 yards or something, but it's basically short to intermediate with two slot receivers and two tight ends, with one of those tight ends serving as our deep threat. And I'm afraid that the Ryan brothers have kind of figured out how to combat that, even though they didn't win. And now other teams are replicating that. So those are my thoughts, and I'll let you go and answer that.
Yeah, and Tim, thanks for the phone call. 508-298-0398. That's the Ace Ticket Hotline. You can email us, webradio@patriots.com. I think the outside threat, you know, not every team can generate the type of pressure that the Steelers did today. And look, the Steelers themselves have struggled to generate that kind of pressure against the Patriots in the past. You know, I heard this week. Like, people are like, oh, I think the Ryan brothers have figured it out. And the Giants did it to some extent in Super Bowl 42. If you can pressure Brady with three and four guys and you just drop the other seven or eight into coverage, that's how you beat them. And it's like, well, no crap. Like, if you can generate a pass rush with three guys, then, of course, you're going to be pretty successful. But most teams have to do it with four, five, six. So let's start by saying that. Not every team can generate that kind of pressure bringing four guys, and the Steelers did that consistently throughout the day. Lamar Woodley was a menace in that football game. I told you, it was a long day for the offensive line today. You look up and you say, only two sacks. I don't know, I felt like Brady was moving around an awful lot in that pocket. Didn't have a ton of time to throw the football. So it starts with the pressure they got on Brady. And you're right, even when Brady did have time, were people getting away? Were people getting open? Steelers took away the middle of that football field. And it was not one of Brady's finest days today. Not that he had a bad day, 24-35, 198, just didn't have the football. But outside of Gronkowski, the offense struggled to move. Welker, very human today, six catches, 39 yards. And, you know, Hernandez, outside of the touchdown, just deadly silent in this one, as was Deion Branch. So, yeah, they still do need that playmaker outside the numbers. I think that's one nitpicky but important question going forward for this Patriots offense. By and large, I have way less questions about the offense, but this one came to a head today. 508-298-0398, that's the Ace Ticket Hotline. We go to Bill in Connecticut. You're next up here with Adam Jones. Hey, Bill.
Hey, Adam. How's it going?
Good, man. How are you?
Pretty good. I mean, I don't feel so bad about this loss. A couple of key points. One, I thought that right side of the offensive line got manhandled by Woodley. I think that was Sebastian Vollmer over there getting beat up.
So Solder, and, just to jump in, Bill, Solder started the game. Solder started the game, but it was Vollmer who came in and replaced him really after those first two series, and he did have a rough day. You're right about that.
Right. Then I thought it was a tale of two defenses. Our defense gave up the middle of the field, and their defense took away the middle of the field.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree with that, Bill. I mean, Patriots struggled all day. Forget the middle of the field. They struggled in general. And Heath Miller certainly exploited them on that first drive, Bill. You're absolutely right about that. Miller on the opening drive in that football game, four catches for 55 yards. And you're right, softened it up. Patriots made adjustments, and that's where Emmanuel Sanders, Antonio Brown, those guys started beating you on the outside.
Yeah, everybody else got into the mix. But going forward, I don't feel too bad about it. We got beat by a good Pittsburgh team. I mean, we got Giants coming up who had a tough time with Miami today, and then the Jets, KC, and Philly. So I'm not really too worried about our schedule going forward. And, you know, sometimes we need a loss like this to, get back on track and I would like to say that our record, seeing an opponent that we had previously lost to in the playoffs, is pretty good. So if we have to see Pittsburgh in the AFC Championship or in a divisional round playoff game, I think we'll fare a little better.
Well, and Bill, you're right about that. And thanks for the phone call, 508-298-0398. Last time Patriots lost to the Steelers in the regular season when Brady was the quarterback, they wound up atoning for that loss in the AFC Championship game. So it's a good point.
Everyone
by you.
Sucks but me.
And I tend to agree with the caller. Like, yeah, the Patriots suck today. It was like they didn't show up. But big picture, yeah, I don't know that I feel that much differently about this team. I already had plenty
sucky,
of questions.
Sucky, sucky, sucky.
Plenty of questions on defense. Who was that, Hart?
Who was John that? Rook.
Oh, that was Rook. Okay. What was it? What'd he say?
Sucky, sucky, sucky.
Let's not use that one too much more. But on the offense, like, I have some nitpicky questions. But by and large, I'm confident the offense can get it done. The defense, I already had a lot of questions about, and some of those were reinforced. So, in other words, look, I felt the same way I did before that Jets game. Like, the Jets and Cowboys showed you a little bit, and you go, okay, is the defense turning a corner? They've been better on third down. But now I'm kind of back in the same spot where, all right, this is the same defense as last year. You look at it, the personnel outside of the defensive line, very similar. And you got Gerard Mayo back in that football game today, and I was surprised that he didn't play. Or he at least didn't play as much as I anticipated him to play. Thought he'd start the game. He didn't. Thought he'd be out there for a majority of the snaps. He wasn't. So, I don't know. I expected to see him out there a little bit more. And remember, Gary Guyton made a play that had the potential to turn the game around. Got the Patriots back in it, 10-7. But, you know, ultimately that defense got picked apart throughout the course of the day. 508-298-0398. That's the Ace Ticket Hotline. Your emails go to webradio@patriots.com. Alan writes in, Adam, I think the Patriots are a one-and-done playoff team again. Let's face it, we have a good team, but this is not a playoff defense. So enjoy the regular season. We'll win a few more. But if we get to the playoffs, we're one-and-done. I'm losing faith that Belichick knows how to fix this defense. And on Belichick, if you're going to criticize him, I wouldn't criticize the scheme necessarily. I mean, look, remember, he started with that aggressive 4-3 scheme at the beginning of the season, man-to-man, a lot of press coverage. Didn't work, so they went back to zone. And look, they got picked apart today. But by and large, the last 3 weeks coming into this one, starting with the Oakland game, it had looked better and better and better coming into this. So schematically, I don't know, that's not where I question Belichick. I question him more in terms of the type of players he's brought in, the personnel he has on that defense. To me, that's where you can lose faith in Belichick, if that's what you're doing. You know, where are the playmakers on this defense? That would be my second guess. Or where I'd lose faith in Belichick. I think it is a personnel issue on defense, and Belichick has a huge hand in that. But it's not X's and O's. It's not like this defense used to work and now it doesn't. He even tried to shift things up this year. Belichick made his most drastic X and O's shift schematically that we've seen since he's been in New England. 3-4, which he had done time and again for year after year after year. And switches it up to more of an attacking 4-3. He tried to change his scheme to fit this personnel. And it turns out the personnel isn't good enough. That doesn't take Belichick off the hook. But I don't think it's an X's and O's thing with this Patriots defense. Continuing with the emails to webradio@patriots.com. Adam, why didn't Belichick challenge the non-call on the Gronkowski touchdown? There would have been 4 minutes left in the game at that point. That's Ray writing in from Vermont. I agree. You look back at it, and at the time I said, well, okay. I get they didn't want to waste a timeout. I understand that, and they figured they'd get in. But then they show the replay, and it was clear Gronkowski was in, and you could have saved yourself a minute and a half. And we'll hear from Belichick, who was at the podium here. Let's get his answer on why he decided not to challenge that play and why he decided to go for the onside kick. This was Bill Belichick following the Patriots' 25-17 loss to the Pittsburgh Steelers.
You know, they just outplayed us, outcoached us. They did a good job. So hopefully we can get back to work and play better than that going forward. But just wasn't a real good day for us in any phase of the game, in any area. We just didn't do a good enough job. So that's really about all there is to say.
Well, what stood out to you in terms of the struggles of the past defense?
You know, gave up too many third downs, and that was a big problem. We had made some of those plays on third down. We've been talking about some of the other plays.
What three veterans go with Bud this season? Bud being the most recent
I got to assume you think the guys you have out there are better than they were.
Well, we make the decisions we feel like are best for the team. So that's what every decision is.
Talk about the strategy or execution of both of the onside kick.
It wasn't very good. Called for offside, bowling good 10 yards, so it's obviously not what we were trying to do.
Can you go back over the decision-making process to go with the onside kick there? What was your thought process to do that versus kick it deep in that situation?
Well, we had confidence in the play. Thought it would that we would execute it well, that we'd be able to have a good chance to get the ball. But it obviously didn't work out that way, so.
A little bit about Tom Brady. He's had such success here in Pittsburgh specifically. The numbers are outrageous. Something that Pittsburgh did different, something that you guys did different. What was the difference tonight?
Just what I said at the beginning. Pittsburgh did a good job today. Give them credit.
Well, you've been giving up a lot of passing yards, but a lot of that is because you've been ahead and the teams are trying to play catch-up. How concerned are you about pass defense in general?
We got to do a better job in every area. Based on today, we need to play better offense. We need to play better defense. We need to play better special teams. We need to coach better. We need to play better. That wasn't our best effort today. It was. I'm not questioning the effort. It wasn't very good execution. We just didn't get it done.
Bill, did you replace put Adams in for Bolden because of performance?
No. We used a lot of players on defense.
The change in personnel in the secondary book with Biden going out and then you did switch up a couple of guys at the end, is that something that's going to kind of continue or would you like to settle on?
We'll do what we think is best every week. Whatever we think gives us the best chance to win, that's what we've always done. That's what we'll continue to do. Do what we think is best for the team.
Bill, between the pass rush and the secondary, do you think you guys have enough talent to affect the elite quarterbacks in this league?
We'll find out every week.
No, I'm not trying to make Bodden seem like the second coming of Mike Haynes here. But when you know you're going to lose Dowling, then you let Bodden go. It seems like you're pretty light at corner.
Blake in the secondary, haven't seen Merriweather go. Haven't seen Sanders go. It's not a lot of experience there. I'm not saying those guys were necessarily that good. But when you see the yardage pile up and those guys going, it raises questions.
Yeah, well, we definitely need to do a better job than we did, so we've had trouble all the way through.
And you gave Bodden a lot of money last year. Was there something specific that he is not doing or wasn't doing?
No, I think I've already answered that question three times, Jim.
What was the plan to get to Roethlisberger today? Did you have someone going in there that you were trying to shake him up? Anything you were attempting to do, trying to do?
Yeah, of course.
Would you mind sharing that?
I'm just sharing it. I mean, we came in with our game plan. We hit him sometimes. There were plenty of times we didn't hit him. He had a good day. He threw the ball well. His receivers made a good plays.
Bill, did you think about challenging the Gronkowski catch at the goal line at the end?
I thought about it. But there was nothing, there was no evidence to say to challenge it. I mean, I certainly couldn't see it from my angle, and I don't believe they replayed the play in the box. So there was nothing to tell us that, he wasn't. I don't know whether he was or not. It's good to have him back, but I think we got to do a lot better job. As a team, offensively, defensively, and special teams, and that's obvious. So that includes everybody.
Any other questions, guys?
Okay.
All right, that was Patriots head coach Bill Belichick following his team's 25-17 loss to the Steelers in Pittsburgh. It is the Patriots postgame show here on Patriots.com. I'm Adam Jones, live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. Here's how you get in touch, 508-298-0398. You can email us webradio@patriots.com. Just summing up some of Belichick's thoughts there at the podium. He said it, too many third downs, and that's obvious. Steelers, 10-16 on third down. Belichick said it. We wouldn't be up here talking about some of those other plays if we just made stops on third down. That's something the Patriots were better at in the win over the Jets, better at in the win over the Cowboys. And obviously they got back to struggling in that department today, something they did all last season, something they were doing again this season, coming into those Jets and Cowboys games. You also heard Belichick say the execution on the onside kick wasn't very good. Again, it's less about the execution of the play that bothered me, though that was awful execution by Gostkowski. But the decision to go for the onside kick says there's no faith in your defense. That's the message it sends. That's at least what it tells me. And we've been down this road before with the Patriots in 2009. We told you 4th-and-2. At least that was against Peyton Manning. You know, at least that was against another first ballot, no-brainer, Hall of Famer. I think Roethlisberger is a good quarterback. I think he's underrated by a lot of people throughout New England, if not the entire NFL. But he ain't Peyton Manning. I know the defense had struggled over the course of the game, but that's what it tells me. You know, Belichick had no faith in his defense getting a stop when he absolutely needed it. I don't know any other way to read that. You know, also, on that decision to go for the onside kick, we've had this pointed out by a few different people in emails, and I believe a caller as well, where, look, I mean, either way, the Patriots need to get a stop, and you're right about that. That ties back into the Gronkowski decision, not to review it. And I understand Belichick is in a tough spot there. He said it wasn't replayed on the video board. If they were at home, I'm sure it would have been. And he just said, look, there was no evidence from what I could see, didn't hear anything. You know, he doesn't even know if it was replayed upstairs. So that's a tough spot for Belichick to be in. If you haven't seen a replay, you're just trusting your guy out on the field, and Gronkowski just following the Twitter sphere, adamant, following the game, saying, yeah, I got in on that play. But, you know, for Belichick, you look back now and you say, okay, that's an extra minute and a half, and then maybe we don't have to worry about onside kicking. Or if we don't get the onside kick, there's that much more time to work with if the Steelers do pick up a first down like they did. So, I don't know, certainly wasn't Belichick's finest day. And I remember we came in after the Jets game and gave him all the credit in the world for X-ing and O-ing in that football game. I thought that was one of the true better days of the season for Bill Belichick in the schematic department. This one, especially in those last 5 minutes, some second-guessing that you can do with Belichick, and a lot of you have, at 508-298-0398, your emails to webradio@patriots.com. That's where John writes in. Adam, who was the nutcake on the phone blaming the offense? What was he watching? Yeah, they weren't that great, and there are things to point to, but you need to give the Steelers credit. The defense is the main problem. No coverage in the flat or in the backfield, and the worst example of tackling I've ever seen. As I said a few weeks ago in a previous email, this is not a championship defense. And how did the refs and players miss Gronkowski's touchdown in the closing minutes? It was the ugliest game I've seen in years. I blame the defense and Coach Bill for not having this team prepared. Ocho, Spikes, Ahedebo, and McCourty were terrible. I'm sick over this one. And again, that was John writing into webradio@patriots.com. Well, there's another area of blame for the coaching staff. Coming out of the bye week, these guys weren't ready to go. And just like we'd give them all the credit in the world if they came out of the bye and said, yeah, these guys were chomping at the bit, ready to go into a hostile environment like Heinz Field. Conversely, when the players don't come out and they give you, what, an 11-play march out of the gates for the Pittsburgh Steelers, then the offense has a chance to try to match that score. And what do? They go 3 and out. On some level, that's on the coaching staff. Same thing to start the second half. Patriots get the ball. That's why you defer the kick like the Patriots did at the start of the game, to get the ball back, go down the field and score. Could have made it a one-possession game with just a field goal. And they go 3 and out. Those were two key 3 and outs for the Patriots. And they came on the first possession of each half. That is a reflection of the coaching staff on some level. 508-298-0398. That's the Ace Ticket Hotline. Let's go to Adam in Fort Worth, Texas. He's been waiting patiently, and he's next up here on Patriots.com. What's up, Adam?
Hey, Adam. How you doing?
Doing well, man.
Hey, it was, a tough loss, but, like you guys have been talking about, I just feel like the offense wasn't itself today. They were a little bit off, and I feel like people have been talking about this for a while, last couple of years. You continue to take value picks on defense, and it's kind of the defense that you get with, we cut Bodden and put Dowling on IR this week. And I think that's kind of what you're left with this week. We couldn't manage to cover Miller for the first quarter and a half, almost the whole first half this week. I don't know what was going on. It seemed like every game before this, we shut him down completely. I don't know what was different about this week.
Well, Adam, I will tell you this. Thanks for the phone call. 508-298-0398. That's the Ace Ticket Hotline. The Patriots, when they've game-planned to take away a tight end, they've done it. They've been very successful. When they game plan to take away Gates, they took him away. Same thing with Witten. Same thing with Dustin Keller. It's been some of the other tight ends, the guys who are secondary focal points for the Patriots defense. Remember Anthony Fasano, week one? Trying to think of the guy on the Raiders. Kevin Boss is another one that beat you down the seam a lot in that Oakland game. I thought this was sort of a similar performance for Heath Miller. Patriots really game plan to take away other guys in the passing game, and the tight end bit him. You can't focus on doubling everyone or taking away everyone. And a couple of the teams where they haven't focused on the tight end, they've been exploited. I think that's a trend with the Patriots. When they want to take a tight end, they've done it. When they focused elsewhere, tight ends have beat them. So I think that is pretty consistent with what the Patriots have done all season. On Bodden, you know, I don't know any other way, just like the Moss thing last year. Now, different caliber of player, and I think he was probably viewed a little differently in that locker room. You know, Patriots had a much more favorable view than Randy Moss, or Patriots players had a more favorable view of Randy Moss, probably than Lee Bodden. And that's not a reflection on Bodden necessarily, it's just Moss was popular in the locker room with his teammates. So that obviously was a much more polarizing decision, but there are elements of this. Belichick made that decision with Randy Moss to get control of his locker room, and it worked. You know, on some level, it has to be the same thing with Lee Bodden. If he's not pulling in the same direction as the coaching staff, or if he's grousing about his role, or unhappy, or upset, or whatever, they decided to get rid of the guy. But from a talent standpoint, there's no question who you'd rather have on the football field in those sub-packages in the slot. Lee Bodden or Antoine Molden and Phillip Adams? Like, it's not even close. So, really, the last couple of days, last 48 hours, there is some second-guessing for Belichick to go around. The onside kick, the decision not to review it. Were the players prepared coming out of the bye week? And that decision on Bodden 2 days before the game looks worse after the outcome of this football game. And granted, Bodden had not had his best season. He had already been demoted. So it's not like on the field Lee Bodden was tearing it up. But again, I ask you, who would you rather have out there? Antoine Molden and Phillip Adams or Lee Bodden? I think that one's pretty self-explanatory. So the players deserve a share of the pie as well. I just think when Bill Belichick has games like these, because they're so rare, I do think it's interesting to break them down and look at it and say, well, okay, you know, what went wrong in this football game? And in those last 5 minutes, it was not Belichick's finest 5 minutes. 508-298-0398, that's the Ace Ticket Hotline. You can email us, webradio@patriots.com. You've already heard from Patriots head coach Bill Belichick on the Patriots' 25-17 loss to the Pittsburgh Steelers. You hear from Patriots quarterback Tom Brady next here on the Patriots postgame show.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Dear business traveler who's flying away, you can get more out of your working day with plush leather seats including legroom galore to stretch out your knees, feet, and more. Plus 36 channels of DirecTV in your seat gives you something to watch once work is complete. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Edwin, and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand at JetBlue.com/business. Based on the average fleet-wide seat pitch of U.S. Airlines, DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
Droid. Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Verizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
That is the metaphorical sound of you hitting your head against the wall in your search for the perfect brand new car. Let's chalk it up to the fact that you didn't know AutoTrader.com even had new cars. See, AutoTrader.com lets you compare new cars side by side, even special offers, so your head and heart can both get what they want. Say your heart wants a sporty 2011 coupe, but your head wants the best deal in town. Bingo! A never been owned before coupe that your head and heart can both agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with cheese combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Browns!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this with you already.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed, go, Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. And account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochet. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Welcome back to the Patriots Postgame Show, live from the Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios inside Gillette Stadium. Have an opinion on today's game? Call the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com. Now, live from the Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios, here's your host, Adam Jones.
508-298-0398, that's the Ace Ticket Hotline. You can email us, webradio@patriots.com. It's the Patriots Postgame Show with Adam Jones. Live here on patriots.com, broadcasting from our Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios inside Gillette Stadium. Patriots fall to the Steelers 25-17 in Pittsburgh. Pats now 5-2 on the season. And we'll get into what that means for the Patriots in this AFC playoff picture. Also what it means in the AFC East. Bills with another victory today, and that's something we'll get to in just a little bit. You'll also hear from Patriots quarterback Tom Brady at the podium shortly. Did want to work through some of these emails to webradio@patriots.com. That's where Keith writes in. And this is the subject line, Kevin. What do you think about this? Stop being a Bill Belichick apologist. I don't know. I didn't realize we were being Belichick apologists here. I thought we just said right before that last break that he deserves a big piece of the blame pie for this game, specifically here today. So we'll go forward and read it. This is Keith to webradio@patriots.com. The problem with the Patriots' offense is it's too predictable. The blueprint to beat the Patriots is to play man coverage, get pressure with three or four linemen, and make Brady sit back in the pocket and pat the ball. Now, just to interject, that's the blueprint to beat a lot of guys. If you can generate pressure with three and four guys, not every team can sit there and say it. The Patriots certainly can't. It's the game plan to beat a lot of quarterbacks. That is a lot easier said than done. So that's the first. I agree. That's how you do it. It's how the Jets did it. It's how the Ravens did it. It's how the Steelers did it today. I totally agree with it. I just think it's a lot easier said than done. Continuing with the email. We need a playmaker like Randy Moss to keep the opposing defenses honest. I am sick of the smug attitude Patriots fans have when it comes to discussing whether Randy Moss comes back to New England or not. We need to stop being Bill Belichick apologists and face the hard reality that he doesn't know what is in the best interest of the football team. The proof is there with the release of Bodden, the limited playing time Ben Jarvis Green-Ellis and Stephen Ridley had in the lineup, and increased playing time for Kevin Faulk. The continued employment of Ocho Cinco, the screw-up of the 33rd pick in the draft, Rozai Dowling, who's now on IR, ignoring good pass rushers in the draft, and picking up has-beens that are at the tail end of their career, should I keep going? And again, that's Keith writing into webradio@patriots.com. And no, Keith, I think most of your people, or most of our listeners, get the point. And look, Bill Belichick isn't perfect. I readily admit that. The Ocho signing, the Haynesworth trade, or the trade for both of those players doesn't look good. Neither does the Dowling pick. And that's something that was panned at the time. taking an injury-prone guy 33rd instead of a pass rusher. Panned at the time, and I think it deserves to be panned at this point. He's not perfect, but I wouldn't want to go too far the other way either and sit here and say, you know, he's a bad coach or he's not one of the elite coaches in the NFL. He is the best coach in the NFL, in my view. There's been some personnel decisions that you'd want back, but what other coach would you rather have than Bill Belichick? Not even just current coaches, but really historically. Not to say he's perfect, not to say he's infallible, but there are certainly not very many other coaches I'd rather have, if any, in the NFL. And I don't know that we've been Belichick apologists here on the program. I think we've sat there and said, look, the decision to go for an onside kick, wrong decision. Decision not to review the Gronkowski play, wrong decision. The Bodden thing doesn't look good. I think that's one that we need more than a week for it to bear out. Remember, Lawyer Malloy looked pretty bad in 2003, right? The 31-0 game looked pretty bad for a week, but that wound up being the right decision. Randy Moss, I don't know who agreed with it at the time. And, you know, that trade turned out to be the right decision for that team last year. So I think the Bodden one is a little tougher to evaluate after 1 week. Certainly doesn't look good, though. I agree with that point. Emails continue to webradio@patriots.com. This is Jeff in Connecticut. Adam, I'm so sick of Belichick's arrogance and is not answering questions. We have a right to know why he made these personnel decisions. We need to stop letting him off the hook. We need to know that we don't have a deep threat on this team and why he didn't use a younger running back with some explosion and run the football. I'm so sick of his standard answer. We need to do a better job. And again, that's Jeff in Connecticut writing into webradio@patriots.com. I understand the frustration from the fans. It's hard as a media member to crush Belichick for not giving us answers because a lot of times fans say, well, you know, that's a media thing, and he doesn't have to answer the questions if he doesn't want to. And honestly, I tend to agree with that. I think with Belichick, it's even if he doesn't answer a question, I think you can tell where he's coming from.
Yeah, I was at the game.
You can tell where he's coming from. I was there on Friday when he was asked about Bodden. Jeff Howe asked him, hey, there's a report out there you release Lee Bodden. Said there's no announcements. A couple of questions were worked in, and then Ian Rappaport of the Boston Herald asked the follow-up. How would you evaluate Lee's play? Harmless question, just off the season.
Are you kidding me?
How would you evaluate his play? And Belichick said, yeah, don't want to address that one right now. It's pretty clear that, you know, he and Bodden weren't seeing eye to eye. So even if he doesn't answer the question and give you this long, verbose answer, I think you can pretty easily tell where he's coming from. I think it's relatively easy to read between the lines with Bill Belichick on that front. So if fans want to hear from him, they want him to be more transparent, fine. But I think when a media member says that, a lot of people just feel like, you know, it's a media member using the fans and saying, yeah, they want to hear. That's justifying me wanting to hear from Belichick. I don't need to hear the answer on it. Thought it was the wrong decision. I don't really need the explanation. 508-298-0398. That's the Ace Ticket Hotline. You can email us, webradio@patriots.com. This is Mike in New Jersey who writes in, Adam, this loss came down to coaching. One question I have. How terrible are James Sanders, Brandon Merriweather, Darius Butler, and Lee Bodden if they couldn't cut it in this secondary? It's a good point. You know, Antoine Molden, Phillip Adams, those guys could stick on the roster, but these other guys couldn't. And don't give me the salary cap aspect of it. The Patriots are way under the cap at this point. You know, Sanders, maybe before the season, I'd buy that. But how can you sit there and say the Bodden decision had anything to do with the cap? Unless the Patriots do something with an extension that we don't know about. Mike continues, the Patriots' defense has not been good. We all know that. But they do a decent job against the run, and they've done a very good job against some very good tight ends in the league. Gates, Witten, Keller combined for 4 catches and 55 yards in 3 games. And that's something that I agree with. Patriots, when they've game planned to take away a tight end, they've done it. Mike continues. Gerard Mayo, not even on the field for those games. Today, Heath Miller ate us for lunch. Miller had 7 grabs for 85 yards. I know Belichick's main goal was probably to contain Mike Wallace, but the middle of the field was way too soft. And at least to start the game, I agree with you, Mike. That's something that the Patriots covered up over the course of the game. We told you this earlier. Miller was a monster on that opening drive. 4 catches for 55 yards. Wound up with a Mwelde Moore touchdown, which, by the way, came on 3rd down. Bit of a recurring issue for the Patriots in this one. Mike continues. The non-challenge on the Gronkowski catch was inexcusable. They wasted 30 seconds trying to get the next playoff. Even if the challenge fails, that time does not come off the clock. Instead of 4:10, there was just 2:35 left, which is 2 or 3 extra chances to stop the Steelers. And I agree with that. And look, you can even put it to you like this. Belichick knows, let's say he knows he loses a timeout. Well, you still have 2 timeouts and the 2-minute warning, so you could still stop the Steelers. Plus, you'd have an extra minute and a half. Plus, there's the added factor, which he didn't know at this point, that Gronkowski clearly got in the end zone. So that's a second guess. That was wrong. The onside kick was a bad call, writes Mike. This team has not recovered one since Bill Parcells and Drew Bledsoe's second year in 1994. I heard that on the broadcast. Staggering. Staggering. You have to figure that the Steelers will try a couple of running plays backed up deep in their own end and then hope you get the stop against the pass. Not recovering the onside kick was basically the end of the game. In that fabulous 2003 intentional safety game in Denver, the Patriots kicked it deep and got it back. I thought for sure the kick was going to be a deep squib with only one Steeler deep. Despite all of this, I remain confident about this club. They were dominated today, and it was still a one-score game. So again, that's Mike writing into Web Radio at Patriots.com. I think that last line is something to remember. Look, you got it handed to you today by a good football team on the road, but you still only lost by a score, essentially, or it was a one-score game at the end of the game. I thought the Patriots couldn't have played much worse, and it was still a one-score football game with the team that now is the best team in the AFC at 6-2. So, just for a little bit of perspective after this loss, I don't think it's the end of the world. It's not like, I was more ticked off after the Cleveland loss last year, is I guess how I'd put it to you.
Am I really into solving the world's problems?
You know, I don't know that that's any solace for anyone. But I'd feel worse about that Cleveland loss last year, given who it came against.
The fact
the
that they played like absolute garbage, and then with 5 minutes left, under 5 minutes left, they're still right there and have a chance to make a few plays to win the game. And basically, from the coaching staff on down to the execution of what they were asked to do, they took a leak down their legs.
Yeah,
that's what happened.
I'm not sitting here telling you that, you know, this loss was awesome or it's a good thing.
No, but I almost wish they didn't have a chance to throw up all over themselves.
But just remember who they were going against. They were going against a good football team on the road. So, you know, acting like this is a terrible loss to some, you know.
If you want to crown them, then crown their ass.
I actually did pick the Steelers before the season. They actually were my Super Bowl pick.
Well, the road to the Super Bowl is going through Pittsburgh, Jones.
It certainly looks that way. And that's something I want to get into in a little bit later on over the course of the Patriots postgame show, especially when we look around the AFC East. Really give you a look at that AFC playoff picture, because that's something the Patriots missed out on in this football game today. But just going back to some of those points from Mike, the last emailer we read from, you know, I especially think personnel-wise, that's where you can look at this secondary and go, man, that is just an easy one to look back at the end of the year. If the secondary in the playoffs is a problem, that is on the coaching staff. You cut Merriweather, you cut Sanders, you cut Bodden. That's at least half of the starters coming into the season in that secondary. That's what you would have anticipated. So that is an easy, easy one to look back on the coaching staff and say, what are you doing? You could have had a much more talented secondary, and you decided to cut these guys, certainly not for salary cap purposes. So I'd agree with that point from Mike. Continuing with the emails to webradio@patriots.com. You can also give us a call on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Tony writes in, Adam, I'm on the ledge, even though I know it's foolish to think that way. Sometimes I think we're spoiled as Pats fans with how much they win and how little they lose. Let's face it, it was a regular season loss to a good team on the road. I'm sure the Patriots would have traded that 45-3 Jets beatdown for a win in the playoffs. However, Belichick is obviously a great coach, but it's hard not to question some of the things he does. I mean, Bodden isn't Revis, but come on. That was just awful out there today. And Tony, Belichick is the best coach in the NFL, and he is arguably the greatest of all time. Doesn't mean everything he does is right. Doesn't mean you can't second-guess him. And doesn't mean you need to sit there and agree with every single move he makes. And there were two in those final 5 minutes that were head-scratchers. And we told you, the onside kick, the decision not to review it. Heck, the Bodden play coming into the game 48 hours before the game. You don't have to agree with everything he does. And I just thought today wasn't Belichick's best day. Look, we gave him all the credit in the world after the Jets game. I thought he out-schemed Rex Ryan. We came in and told you this was a big day for Belichick against the guy he had struggled with X's and O's-wise in the past. Big day for him. So if we're going to come in and tell you he has a great day, when he does, and he deserves it, we're going to come in and tell you he has a bad one as well. And today just wasn't a banner day.
It is what it is.
25-17 loss in Pittsburgh, and in those last 5 minutes, I thought he was part of the problem. Let's take another email before we go to Brady at the podium. Aaron writes into Web Radio at Patriots.com. Adam, get Ocho out of here. He hasn't made any progress at all, and I agree with you. I don't believe he's going to pan out this late into the season. And I reiterate my point on Ocho Cinco. And I spent a lot of time doing this over the week. If he's not going to show you anything today in this game where he had a lot of factors in his favor, theoretically, more 3 and 4 wide receiver sets to spread out the Steelers' defense. An opponent that he's familiar with. He's gone against the Steelers at least twice a year, every year of his career before this one. And you're also coming off the bye. Just an added bonus. If he didn't show you anything today, why on earth do you think he's going to show you something down the line?
Did you see 12 after that deep ball to Mr. Ocho Cinco?
Yeah, where he aired it out? Yeah, he's just like, what the heck?
Did you see what
he
said?
Doing? Yeah. No, what he, I didn't read the lips, no.
Read the lips, he said he stopped
running. Yeah. So, look, you know that he's frustrated with Ocho. You don't need to be a rocket scientist or a psychiatrist, I guess, to figure that one out. Aaron continues. I also thought the Steelers got away with a few holding calls. What's more, the officiating was a bit lopsided as they missed Gronk's obvious touchdown. Fine. There was also, you know, the bang-bang late hit call on the sideline on Gronkowski before that. I think you can go tit for tat with it. So, you know, for me, the refs, I'd like to stay away from that one. But the Pats' decision to onside rather than kicking it away, concludes Aaron, with a 2.5-to-play game and the Steelers with the football, I love you, but what were you thinking, guys? And that's what Aaron writes in to webradio@patriots.com. Look, a lot of people are second-guessing that onside kick. I just think it's important to remember where you were at when that happened. I told you. I sat here and looked to Matt and Kevin when Nance goes, yeah, well, are the Patriots going to onside kick it? And I go, what's he talking about? What is he talking about? They're going to onside kick it. They're going to kick it deep. Why would they onside kick it? And it turns out they onside kicked it. So I don't know. For me, that was an obvious second guess because I'm sitting here calling Nance an idiot until they actually go for the onside kick. 508-298-0398. That's the Ace Ticket Hotline. You can email us webradio@patriots.com. You've heard from me over and over again throughout the course of the Patriots postgame show. You've also heard from Bill Belichick. Let's go to the podium and hear from Patriots quarterback Tom Brady following the Patriots 25-17 loss in Pittsburgh.
Well, I mean, you specifically, you've had such success here at Pittsburgh. Your numbers are just outrageous. Was there something that they did differently or something you guys did differently? Was there a difference back there tonight?
Well, we just didn't execute very well on offense. I don't think we complemented our defense very well. You know, the first quarter, we had an opportunity to go answer their score, and, you know, we go 3 and outs. So, you know, there's too many 3 and outs. There's just a poor level of execution all the way around. And, we individually, we all have to look in the mirror and figure out what we need to do better and try to go out and play better next week.
Yeah, the one really good drive, was maybe a little bit too late at that point to capture what you guys needed to do?
Yeah, I mean, we never really played with the lead. We never really played the game on our terms. You know, I think they played very well defensively. They have a lot of good players over there. Great scheme, great coaching. And, you know, we give them certainly a lot of credit, and we understand that you know, if we play like that, we're not going to beat many people at all.
Well, defensively, the Steelers, did they do much differently than you've seen from them in the past?
No, I mean they run a lot of the same stuff every week, and you just don't think we did a very good job handling it or adjusting to it or you know, playing against it. I thought they were very physical, and we didn't really match their physical style. We got to run the ball better. We got to throw the ball better. You know, we got to execute better all the way around.
Was it frustrating to be on the sidelines so much? It seemed like they were on the field. You know, their offense was on the field a lot more than you guys were. Is that hard to watch?
Well, I mean, you always want to be out there. I mean, the defense is busting their butt to get them off the field. And like I said, we got to compliment them as well. So if they go on a long drive, we can't go in there and go 3 and out like we did. We got to do a better job of that. And look, it's a good football team. We played them on the road. There's not much margin for error when you play a good team on the road. And we certainly made plenty of errors.
Did you think you had a touchdown pass when you threw it to Gronk at the end of the game there? Do you think Gronk had gotten in the end zone?
It's not really up to me. I don't know how it looked on TV. Yeah. Yeah. Wish they had reviewed it. But they didn't. And, you know, we kept fighting to the end. Mm-hmm. So we always do. We're always going to fight to the end. And we got a lot of mentally tough guys and a lot of guys with very high character in our locker room. And we're just going to keep battling. And, you know, no one's going to feel sorry for themselves. It's the seventh game of the year. There's so much football left. And, you know, obviously we just didn't play our best.
How great was it that Kevin fought back?
Great. I mean, he's such a spark plug for offense. He does so many things well. He was a You know, for a guy who hadn't played football in a year, it certainly didn't look like it. He played well, played hard, made some big plays, running the ball, catching the ball. I'm sure he's going to be sore tomorrow. He took some big hits. But it's great to have him back.
Did you expect them to blitz as much as they did today?
Yeah, I mean, they blitz 50% of the time anyway as a defense, and certainly a lot more than that on third down. So it's a lot of pressure, and you got to stand up to the pressure. You got to be able to complete tight throws. And we just didn't do that.
Did you see a lot more man from them than you've seen in the past?
Yeah, I think they played more man than what they've shown all year. And the way you beat man is you make plays against it and you get them out of it. And we didn't do enough of that.
A couple final questions, guys.
Thanks, guys. You guys go home.
Yeah. That's Patriots quarterback Tom Brady. Here on the Patriots postgame show, Patriots.com. I'm Adam Jones, live from our Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios inside Gillette Stadium. You can give us a call on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398, or email us webradio@patriots.com. And one thing Brady singled out, or one guy Brady singled out, and I did think he had a good game. Kevin Falk, 11 touches in this one, 6 catches, 5 rushes, or the other way around, but 11 touches in this football game. Thought he was pretty involved. And look, didn't come in a win. But I thought Kevin Falk showed you that he is healthy and he could still give you something. And I'm not positive we knew that. I certainly felt good that he could still make a contribution. But I don't know that we knew that before we saw it today. So good effort out of Falk. And Brady singled him out there at the end of the game. He also talked about Pittsburgh's pressure. And that's something that, you know, the quarterback is obviously going to be hitting on after the game. Was moved off his spot an awful lot. Didn't look comfortable in that pocket. And I don't know. I thought it was a rough first game back for Sebastian Vollmer. Thought it was a rough game for Logan Mankins with a couple of offside calls false start penalties in this football game. So overall, a rough day for that Patriots offensive line in this one. And you have to wonder, is Vollmer the guy at right tackle or is it going to be Nate Solder? I think that's an interesting question going forward. LePan, you're shaking your head in there. You think it's Solder?
I think it's Solder. I mean, neither one played particularly well. But when you looked at Solder, he's just better in the run game than Vollmer is at this point. And I think that as he continues to progress, I mean, they're even right now. I would look at it as they're even. And you have a rookie who's only going to grow. So I think you groom him for the future. You go with him the rest of the way and you use Vollmer as that blocking tight end kind of thing.
I got to tell you, I didn't think Solder was great against the Jets or the Cowboys, but he wasn't as bad as what Vollmer gave you in this game. I thought it was a rough first go of it for Vollmer coming back here today. And by and large, coming into the season, I remember saying, look, Vollmer's hurt. I wouldn't even be surprised if Solder gets the job and never loses it. I know we said it after the first Dolphins game. We were saying it early in the year. And I was having some second thoughts about that. Again, just given the way that Vollmer played those last two games before the bye week, Solder played those last two games before the bye week. But this one to give me pause. If I'm Belichick, I may say, look, maybe we get Solder a little more playing time at that right tackle spot. Emails go to webradio@patriots.com. That's where Kreiner writes in. Patriots look pathetic. Are you just cheerleaders? Or will you try to do a little bit more objective or be a little bit more objective about the Patriots and their drafting failures? Having the best one-loss record over the last decade means nothing if you can't win the big ones. Well, I know we've talked about the personnel on the team. So I don't know if we've specifically sat there and gone through and picked apart every draft pick for this club. I don't know. I would look at it as the 2010 draft seems like a good one for this club, at least the tight ends you were able to pick up in that draft. So I don't know. I look at that draft and consider it a win. McCourty, the tight ends, I look at that draft and consider it a win. There were some misses up high. Cunningham looks like a miss. This year, that Rozai Dowling one to me looks like a miss. But I don't know. When you're talking about personnel decisions, I thought we've kind of been doing that. So maybe we didn't specifically single out some of the drafting. But I don't know. I think we've been sitting here saying on defense, it is a clear talent issue with this team. I don't think it's X's and O's. So, yeah, that's all of it. That's not just the drafting. That's, some of the guys you've decided to bring in, the Lee Bodens of the world, when you're cutting them a year after handing them a big four-year contract. That's not just a drafting thing. That's personnel in general. And I think on that side of the football, the Patriots have missed an awful lot lately. I would absolutely agree with that. 508-298-0398. That's the Ace Ticket Hotline. Your emails go to webradio@patriots.com. Ron writes in, Adam, Belichick is the greatest coach in NFL history. But like the guy on the phone call said, a lot of bad personnel moves recently. The only genius move he made was drafting Mayo. Also, Why is Vollmer starting and not Solder? Two sacks given up by Vollmer, and I think Solder would not have given them up. What's going on? Well, that ties right back into what we were just saying. I wouldn't be surprised if you see more Solder. And don't forget, he started that football game today.
And he did give up a sack.
Yeah, they were split. Those Woodley sacks, one was Solder, one was Vollmer. But I thought Vollmer had a rougher day in the football game today. So I just wonder. I wonder how they treat that going forward. I don't think that is a make-or-break decision for the Patriots. I just think Solder's been better than Vollmer. Do they continue to go with Nate Solder at that right tackle spot, or do they go back to Nate Solder at that right tackle spot? That's at least something to keep an eye on. But, yeah, there's been a lot of personnel misses for this Patriots club defensively lately. I think much more so on that side of the football than on the offensive side of the football. And, look, I mean, you're going to look back at this draft, or potentially, we'll look back at this draft and say, well, what are they thinking? All these offensive picks in 2011, when they need help on the defensive side of the ball, you can look back and really say, well, okay, you know, Solder, the running backs, you know, were those guys necessary over some defensive players? And I think Solder does look like a player. I would challenge the they only hit on Mayo theory, because I think they've hit on other guys.
Gronkowski.
Yeah, I think the tight ends last year were pretty obvious. I think McCourty's a hit as well.
McCourty.
Now, I know, he's not having a great season. Spikes I would be iffy about. But McCourty, I don't know. I think by and large, that's still looking like a pretty good pick by the Patriots. So I would challenge the premise that Mayo's the only one they hit on. And, oh, by the way, it's the only time they drafted in the top 10, too. So, you know, most teams are going to hit in that top 10. But, you know, for me, I just look at it and say, yeah, there are personnel issues with this team, especially on the defensive side of the ball. Some of it's drafting, some of it's free agency as well. They've missed plenty there. Adalis Thomas right at the top of the list. I don't know, Lee Bodden looks like one where you can second guess that. So I just think it's deeper than drafting. 508-298-0398. That's the Ace Ticket Hotline. You can email us, webradio@patriots.com. Patriots fall to 5-2 after their 25-17 loss today in Pittsburgh to the Steelers. We'll take a look at that AFC playoff picture, and we'll also take a spin around the AFC East next on the Patriots postgame show.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800-MY-SEATS.
Dear business traveler who's flying away, you can get more out of your working day with plush leather seats including legroom galore to stretch out your knees, feet, and more. Plus 36 channels of DirecTV in your seat gives you something to watch once work is complete. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Edwin, and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand at JetBlue.com/business. Based on the average fleet-wide seat pitch of U.S. Airlines, DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
Droid. Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Verizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
That is the metaphorical sound of you hitting your head against the wall in your search for the perfect brand new car. Let's chalk it up to the fact that you didn't know AutoTrader.com even had new cars. See, AutoTrader.com lets you compare new cars side by side, even special offers, so your head and heart can both get what they want. Say your heart wants a sporty 2011 coupe, but your head wants the best deal in town. Bingo! A never been owned before coupe that your head and heart can both agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats! What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this when you're ready.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed. Go Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops. Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. An account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
This is the Patriots postgame show with Adam Jones, live from the Subway Fresh broadcast studio inside Gillette Stadium. Hit up Adam on the Ace Ticket hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com.
About a half hour left here on the Patriots postgame show. Adam Jones here on patriots.com, live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. Here's how you get in touch. Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. You can email us, webradio@patriots.com. Let's go right to the phones. Mully is in Pennsylvania waiting patiently here on patriots.com. What's going on, Mully?
Hey, what's going on, Adam?
Doing well, man.
I just want to touch on two things. One positive, one negative. I'll start out with the negative. I just think our defense, besides from all the blown coverages and everything that were obvious throughout the game, I think we're just really slow. Like, the defensive line looks just slow. The linebackers look slow. I mean, I've been watching games throughout the whole day, and, I mean, the Patriots have been in pressure. Like, they've been pushing the line, but they just can't get to the quarterback at all. And I see that in other teams, and their defensive line, particularly the ends, are so much faster. And I just feel if we had some speedy defensive end or a speedy linebacker, I think that could just add so much more to the defense.
Well, Mully, let me jump in for a second. I do think with the defensive line, there probably is some explosion issues, or at least a lack of explosiveness on the defensive line. And you look at it, that's really the one area of the defense that isn't overly youthful. I mean, the linebackers as a group, youthful group. Same thing with the secondary. The D line, a little longer in the tooth. So I think there's some commonality there where you look at it and say, okay, older players, maybe there's not the same kind of explosion that a team like, say, the Cowboys had when they came in here, or even the Steelers today. I would tend to agree with that. You said you also had a positive point on the Patriots, Mully?
Yeah. One positive is Taylor Price. I watched him specifically, and he was open a number of times. I think that thing with his connection with Tom Brady quite isn't there, because I saw him open, but Brady decided to throw to a double-covered Welker instead. But, I mean, there was one deep play where Brady was getting rushed, So he had to rush the throw, and it was broken up. But he clearly had the man beat. I mean, he seems like, so far, in the limited plays he's had, that he could be that deep threat.
Well, I'll tell you, the one target for him, and thanks for the phone call, Mully, 508-298-0398. That's the Ace Ticket Hotline. The one throw that was intended for Taylor Price that Mully was citing, underthrown ball by Tom Brady. Poor throw. Price had him beat. He's absolutely right. That was the only target. And I will say on Taylor Price, I don't know, maybe I didn't watch him as closely as Mully was. For me, the fact that he's out there getting those rips, or reps, I should say, another bad sign for Chad Ochocinco.
The price is wrong, bitch.
You know, it's another bad sign for Ochocinco. Not just that the reps are limited, but now, okay, there's another third receiver stealing some of those reps.
That's Bush. Bush League.
And for me, I don't know, Taylor Price hadn't shown me an awful lot. There are some chemistry issues. And when I say chemistry, it's not a relationship thing. But in terms of being on the same page, you know, with Brady and Price. I think the same thing we see with Ocho, we've seen with Price. You know, trouble being in the right spot, trouble building that level of trust with Tom Brady. That's, I guess, how I'd want to put it to you. And I don't know, that's kind of jumped out to me whenever Price has played. It hasn't been a lot. But the fact that he's now starting to get reps over Ocho Cinco tells you how the coaching staff views Ocho Cinco, and I think that's important to take note of. 508-298-0398, that's the Ace Ticket Hotline. Your emails go to webradio@patriots.com. That's where Michael writes in. Adam, so far this season, I've been pessimistic with the defense. However, my problem is with the talent that we're starting. Tell me who's better, Brandon Merriweather or Sergio Brown, James Sanders or Josh Barrett, Butler or Antoine Molden,
in the Big Bang Clock,
Lee Botten or Phillip Adams. It just blows my mind, and it seems like Belichick has given up on the secondary. And, Michael, you have to wonder if he's gone a little too far the other way now, Belichick, in that, okay, for a while it seemed like he hadn't made that move to win back the locker room. And I'm talking about Randy Moss in a roundabout way. You know, okay, well, he won the locker room back by jettisoning Randy Moss, and that was an important move for Bill Belichick last season, and it was the right move, no doubt about it. But you wonder if that move, I don't know if you want to say went to Belichick's head, or you just look at it and say, well, okay, he hit the nail right on the head with him, so now he can just get rid of all of those guys. And the truth of the matter is, in most cases, you're going to want the more talented player. In most cases. I think in the case of Randy Moss, he was absolutely right. But as Michael points out in the email, you know, how many Sergio Brown, Josh Barrett, James Ahedebo, Antoine Molden, Phillip Adams can you get away with in the secondary? Like, how many of those guys can you have? The Randy Moss one was absolutely the right decision. But you wonder if that empowered Belichick enough. And he said, you know what? Yeah, it's all about chemistry. And he's just gone too far in that chemistry, or in that chemistry debate, gone a little too far there. And there's not enough talent in the secondary. I think that is a defense-wide thing, the lack of talent. I think the talent was addressed on the D-line. And I think the change in scheme and the upgrade in talent has been apparent. Still not elite. Looks nothing like what the Cowboys trot out there or the Steelers or even the Jets. But I think it looks better. But defensively, as a whole, there is a talent issue. And it's specifically in that secondary. And that's all on the coaching staff. That is all 100% on the coaching staff. Didn't have to cut Merriweather. Didn't have to cut Sanders. Didn't have to cut Botten. Not saying having all of those guys there would automatically fix everything and be an elite secondary, but it'd be better. And, you know, Antoine Molden went from not playing the third corner to demoted. I don't think Lee Botten would have gotten demoted. At least he hadn't all the way to the bench. He had been demoted from starting outside to the slot, but I don't know. I don't think he would have lost that slot job. 508-298-0398. That's the Ace Ticket Hotline. That's where Joe in Atlanta dials us up. What's going on, Joe?
What up, Adam? How you doing?
Doing well, man.
I just want to comment. Was it just me, or did Albert Haynesworth give up on a lot of plays up there?
So we got an email on this as well, and Joe, it might have been you as well.
It's me. I couldn't wait for you to get
okay.
get
so
to
I,
it.
So I had that email dog-eared. I don't know. You know, for me, Haynesworth, outside of the Miami game a little bit, where he repeatedly beat Richie Incognito, and outside of that Dallas game where he was collapsing the pocket, didn't show up in the stat sheet. You know, for me, he's either been hurt or invisible. And I agree with you, Joe, especially in that San Diego game. Like,
right.
You looked at it and said, man, he just looks like he's given up on plays. Honestly, I didn't see it as much today, Joe, as I did in that San Diego game. But it's something that I've certainly seen out of Haynesworth over the course of the season.
Let me ask you this. So, obviously, we know he gives up on plays. Do you think the coaches say anything to the players to make them seem like, hey, you know, this play you gave up? Obviously, we know that's Haynesworth, like, M.O. because he did that in Washington. He did it in Tennessee. So, obviously, he's doing it here, too. So, I mean, does the coaches say anything to the players like, dude, you gave up on this play. You could have had the running back down for a loss, but he ended up getting 3 yards.
I mean, I have to think if it's egregious. And Joe, thanks for the phone call. 508-298-0398. That's the Ace Ticket Hotline. And we were going to get to that email. I had that one dog-eared. We were ready to go to it. On Haynesworth, I mean, if it's egregious, if the coaches see it, and if I see it or Joe sees it, the coaches have to see it. I can't imagine after the San Diego game they didn't address it. I can't imagine. And fine, maybe he hurt his back on that play. Why is his back hurting him? Because he's out of shape. He came into camp totally, completely out of shape. It's a conditioning thing with Albert Haynesworth. It's easier to give up when, you know, you're behind the play and you're lazy about it. So, you know, for me, I don't know, but I can't imagine the coaching staff if it's egregious, and it has been at various points. Not to Washington levels, but the San Diego game was pretty bad. I can't imagine the coaches just ignore it. Now, that said, you know, when are you going to get something out of Haynesworth? I thought we had seen a little bit more in that Dallas game, and you figure coming off the bye week, maybe you'd get it. Today was definitely a step back for Haynesworth, and the step forward in the Dallas game was so incremental, so small. But this was another one of those, okay, Albert's invisible weeks. You know, when are we going to see something out of him? And we just haven't. 508-298-0398. That's the Ace Ticket Hotline. Your emails go to webradio@patriots.com. That's where Kyle writes in. Adam, this Patriots secondary was just awful. No coverage, no tackling, no nothing. However, I feel it's unfair to blame guys like Ahedebo, Brown, Adams, Molden, etc.
That's Bush.
They have no business being in there to begin with. They're just not talented enough. So when they fail to make a play, I don't blame them necessarily. When it's the coach's fault, they're in there in the first place. And I agree with this 100%, Kyle. Belichick has the guys he wanted. Bodden, Sanders, and Merriweather are all gone. I blame the coaches in front office for fielding a bunch of bad players by their own choice and expecting them to come through on the field. Bingo. You know, for me, don't sit there and point the finger at Antoine Molden or Phillip Adams or James Ahedebo or Josh Barrett or Sergio Brown. Those guys didn't have to be playing for you. Those guys could have been special teamers at best for you, or practice squatters in the case of Phillip Adams. Those guys don't have to be out on the football field. That is 100% a coaching decision. 100%. So, you know, obviously you want those guys to make the plays when they're out there, and I don't think the world of any of them as football players. I still think Ahedebo has been the best of a bad lot at that safety spot. But I don't think the world of any of those guys. But that's totally on the coaching staff. None of those guys, not one, has to be playing if the coaches don't make decisions or the decisions they made on Merriweather and Sanders and Bodden. None of those guys have to play. That's 100% coaching decision. I agree with that email. Continuing with the emails to webradio@patriots.com, Alan writes in, this goes back to the onside kick. Adam, I actually thought the onside kick was the right call. Correct me if I'm wrong. But if you kick it away, you need a three and out from your defense. If you onside kick and get it, fine. If you don't, you still need the three and out. The onside kick gave the Patriots an additional opportunity. Frankly, it was another vote of no confidence for the defense. And look, that last part that Alan said is the bigger takeaway. You know, it's less about, well, was it the right decision, wrong decision? Let's move past that. I agree that, look, they need to stop either way. Now, from a field position standpoint, I thought it was important to kick off, but fine. And I thought there was no way they were going for the onside kick. I've told you a couple of times. When Nance said that, I go, what? What's he talking about? Like, LePan, Collins, what's he talking about? I said that out loud. And it turns out he was right on the money. They onside kicked it. But it's more about what it means for this defense and the message that it sends to this defense. And I don't know, what other takeaway can you possibly have than that he has no confidence in his defense to get a three and out, to get a stop? Because he doesn't. And I don't blame Belichick, by the way, for not getting a three and out. It's pretty obvious. Look at the numbers Roethlisberger put up in this game. Picked you apart. 36 for 50, 365, two touchdowns. A lot of that damage came in the first half, by the way. Steelers on third down, 10 of 16, including two killer third and longs. Third and 15, 17 yards to Emmanuel Sanders on Devin McCourty. Third and 12, Antonio Brown comes up with the catch behind Patrick Chung. You know, I don't know how Belichick could have any faith in the defense when you go through what he's seen today and really what he's seen on balance this season, the Jets and Cowboys games aside. How could he have faith in that defense? Now, I wouldn't have still gone as far as onside kicking it there, but that's the takeaway from that decision. And I think that's what I'd rather spend more time on than second-guessing it and saying, oh, well, it was the right move, it was the wrong move. Well, what was the message to the defense? And I think that one's pretty clear. 508-298-0398. You can email us webradio@patriots.com. We told you, came into this week with a lot of questions about the Pittsburgh team. You know, are they real? Is this a bit of a team that on paper, you know, looks a little better than they actually are? Some of those wins for the Steelers, not that impressive. They came in 5-2, but lost to the Ravens. You know, their best win was the Titans. You look at it and go, well, okay, is this team legit? That was the first question about the Steelers. And the second was, how did I match up against this Patriots team specifically? And the answer was, not very well, historically. Against Tom Brady, they were 1-6. They answered a lot of those questions today. And the bigger takeaway for the Patriots is, now what's the AFC playoff picture look like? And we'll get to all of that, as well as the outlook in the division, as we take a spin around the AFC East.
It's time to go around the AFC East on the Patriots postgame show with Adam Jones. Get the latest news and information on the Bills, Dolphins, and Jets. Adam Jones has the latest divisional scores and standings from around the AFC East.
Big win for the Bills today, 23-0 over the Washington Redskins. Not only did they move to 5-2, but they now by default, by virtue of their victory over the Patriots earlier this season, so I guess we shouldn't call it by default. Now we're back atop the AFC East. They have the tiebreaker head-to-head with the New England Patriots, at least until they meet up again in Week 17. Ryan Fitzpatrick, 21-27 in that football game today, 262 and a pair of scores. It comes on the heels of a six-year, $59 million contract, which got a lot of second-guessing around the NFL, or at least opened some eyes around the NFL, at least for one day. Ryan Fitzpatrick able to silence the critics. With a big day from him, a shutout win for the Buffalo Bills. They move to 5-2 and sit all alone atop the AFC East. The Dolphins, conversely, fall to 0-7 with a 20-17 loss to the New York Giants, and a disappointing loss if you're a Dolphins fan. I know there's some of you out there. Dolphins give up 10 unanswered points at the end of that football game. They actually led it. There it is. They actually led that football game 17-10. Eli Manning with a 25-yard strike to Victor Cruz with under 6 minutes left as the Giants were able to pull out the victory. And again, the Dolphins fall to 0-7, and you just hear Sparano after the game like, yeah, you know, call it whatever you want, criticize it, whatever you want to do to it, to a media member, like a big back and forth with Sparano. But he's like, you know, we have guys fighting in that locker room. And it's like, great, Tony, can fight all they want. They're 0-7. And of course, the Jets off this week. It was their bye week. They remain at 4-3. They take on the Buffalo Bills next week in a game that'll have some serious playoff implications in the AFC East. Now look, looking around the AFC as a whole, right now, due to tiebreakers, and it's early and there's still a long way to go, the Patriots went from the top team in the AFC at 5-1 to just barely getting into the playoffs now with that loss today. Pittsburgh's at 6-2. Buffalo, we told you, by virtue of their win over the Patriots, would be the 2 seed at 5-2. San Diego and Houston are their division champions, so they're the 3-4 seeds. Or would be the division champions, so they're the 3-4 seeds. And then Cincinnati is 5-2 based on win percentage in conference games. Bengals are 4-1, Patriots are 4-2. So again, it's early in some of this, but it's important to look at it. And it's important to look around and say, okay, a win, and the Patriots would be sitting there at 6-1 and in a clear driver's seat in the AFC as the clear standout team in the AFC, the only team in the AFC with one loss, and one of just 3 teams in the NFL with one loss. Niners won again today, by the way. They remain in that one-loss group. Green Bay was off, but they sit at 7-0. Patriots could have been right there in that group and the top team in the AFC. And instead, they're one of 3 teams in the AFC, Cincinnati, New England, and Baltimore, at 5-2. So that's one of the areas you really missed out on in this football game as well. So it wasn't just, man, the Patriots were so successful against this Pittsburgh club, and they have been over the years. And I expected them to go into Pittsburgh and really win how the Steelers won, in all honesty. Like, the way the Pittsburgh Steelers won that game, New England was never really in it. Like, it was a one-possession game, but this to me was very similar to the Jets win for the Patriots. Like, yeah, the Jets were kind of there. It was a one-score game, but you never felt like the Jets were in control of that game. This is the same way. The Patriots were kind of hanging around, but they weren't in control of that game by any means. And that's the way I expected it to play out, except the Patriots would be the team leading and ultimately winning that game in Pittsburgh. It's how the matchups have gone, by and large, in this series. So it's less about that. It's less about losing bragging rights to the Steelers or, you know, bucking the trend that they've had in that series. But it's more about, man, all of a sudden, you really put yourself in more of a dogfight in this AFC playoff picture. And I look at it as the Patriots have a pretty easy schedule moving forward. After this Giants game and after the Jets game, really, really goes pretty soft for the Patriots. You have the Chiefs following the Jets game, and the Chiefs have been playing better of late. That's a Monday night game. It'll be here, not in Kansas City, which is a big bonus. Then you have Philadelphia, who's playing right now on Sunday Night Football. They're up 14-0 on the Dallas Cowboys. And I would expect them to continue to get better. But they're a team that obviously has had some ups and downs this season. After that, and I think those two are not gimmies, but I think those two are wins if you look at it on the schedule. Then you go Indy, Washington, Denver, and Miami before a Week 17 matchup that may or may not matter against the Buffalo Bills, depending on, you know, how this plays out over the course of the season. So these next four games, I think the Patriots can go 3-1, and after that, they should take those four games after that. Indy, Washington, Denver, Miami. So I think you could be looking at it at the end of the season with this team being a three-loss team. So there's a lot of doom and gloom out there from Patriots fans, and I get it. You know, it was a tough loss today, but to a good football team. And I still look at it as, look at it through the lens of that Browns game last year. Disappointing loss. Team didn't show up, and they got their doors blown off in Cleveland. I don't think this loss is as bad as that one. You lost to a better team, and you were at least in this game on some level. But it does muck things up a little bit. And instead of being in the driver's seat in the AFC, now you have to take care of business, and you have to have some of these other teams, Pittsburgh specifically, come back to the pack a little bit. So that's all. I don't think that's a hurdle they can't overcome. I honestly think most of the callers, and this is rare. This is a rare one, guys. Because normally I'm sitting here and people are going, Jones, you're too negative about this defense. You're too negative about this team. I'm very rarely the voice of positivity. And I think after this game, I don't know, most of the callers, emailers we've heard from LePan, they've been a lot more negative than I have.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, I think a little perspective after this loss is important. You lost to a good football team on the road. Not to defend them. The way they played, they were awful. They came out of a bye week. They weren't ready to play. That's on the coaching staff. I thought Belichick specifically had some second guesses in the last 5 minutes of that football game. But I don't know. I think some perspective in this case is pretty necessary. I don't all of a sudden think this Patriots team is in any more trouble than I did earlier this season. You know, I already had questions about the defense, and now those same questions are back. So I guess anybody who's really worried about the defense and wasn't before, I don't know, I was kind of already there.
It's not like Pittsburgh's an easy place to march into and win. I mean, Tom Brady's had that success, but look at how much of a deal was made out of that because he was one of one or two people that could do that, march into Pittsburgh and
I mean,
say,
right.
I'm going to win.
I think that's part of the reason why Patriots fans are so doom and gloomy after this as well. And again, I say that, like, most of the time I'm like, man, people are killing me for being too negative. I think most of the Patriots fans we've talked to are taking this one a lot harder than I would. Like, you lost to a
season's
good football.
Season's over, Jones.
You lost to a good football. But, like, honestly, Kevin, like, you say that in jest, but we've sort of been hearing that from a couple of
people. I already told LePan, November 13th, Patriots go to the Jets. After that game, there's a real possibility. There's a real possibility they could be in third place in the AFC East.
No, I mean, there is the possibility of it. And honestly, I think the Patriots lose that game.
I think they do, too, given what I saw today.
But that's the one in those next four games. I think they beat the Giants at home. I think they'll lose to the Jets on the road. They should take care of the, Eagles on the road and the Chiefs at home. They should be able to take care of those teams. And then you're into cream puff central.
Eagles look pretty good right now, Jones.
So they do. What is it, 21-0? Or is it still 14?
It's something like that, but they're carving up the Cowboys.
So, you know, look, I just think that what LePan just said is part of the reason. Right? Like, Patriots fans just are so accustomed to the Patriots going in and taking care of the Steelers. They've done that so much over the years in Pittsburgh. Like, they've just done that so consistently that I think that's thrown Patriots perspective or Patriots fans' perspective on this game a little out of whack. You're just so used to going into Pittsburgh that you think it's like going into, you know, Buffalo or something like that. Beating up on some patsy.
I wish they would have not showed up against the Giants or the Redskins or some team that's not in the division or that's not in the AFC that's going to be ahead of them.
Right.
Well, no, it's not even the history thing. It's not a team that's not in the AFC that's now ahead of you in the standings and has the tiebreaker. So when push comes to shove in December and in January, you want the Super Bowl to go through Foxborough.
Well,
hasn't worked out for us the past two times.
I know, but that's still the goal, though.
Well, I know, but I was talking with Adam before, and there was a lot of talk when the Patriots were winning. Oh, maybe they don't want home field advantage. Maybe.
That's ridiculous.
See, I think that's ridiculous as well. I think you want the bye, and I think you want the playoff game. I mean, that's me. Maybe I'm dead wrong on this. Maybe the bye would be a bad thing for him. Maybe 100%. Another home playoff game would be wrong. But no, I mean, Matt's right. We've heard some of that. I would just tend to reject
it. I think it's stupid.
Now, what you said on the conference losses,
yes.
Right? The Bills lost, the Steelers
divisional
lost.
And conference losses, they kill you.
For a tiebreaker, you'd rather lose these games in the NFC. I mean, you're absolutely right about
absolutely.
That. No other way to spin it.
I'd rather – I don't know. I just felt like they didn't show up, Jones.
Well, and look, they didn't. I mean, you don't have to not feel like that. I mean, they didn't. I think that's pretty clear. But, you know, Pittsburgh put themselves in the driver's seat in the AFC, and you had a chance to do that if you're the Patriots and you take care of business today. And you're right, they didn't show up. 508-298-0398. You can email us, webradio@patriots.com. Let's go back to the Ace Ticket Hotline. Talk with Craig in Ohio. You're next up here on the Patriots postgame show. Hey, Craig.
Hey, guys. Good evening. No doom and gloom over here. I'm in Steelers country here in Northeast Ohio.
Yeah.
We still have a great team. I mean, Brady, he's still the quarterback of the AFC. My, you know, before the season began, my biggest question was the defense. And asking you guys, you know, getting rid of Merriweather before the season and now getting rid of Bodden before this game, I just don't see what Belichick and top management are seeing in the secondary we have. I mean, watching the game today, as Roethlisberger is a good quarterback too, don't get me wrong, but the way he picked our defense apart and the linebackers were completely out of place all game long, that worries me going into our further games. You know, watching the Dallas-Philadelphia game right now as Michael Vick is picking apart the Dallas secondary, you know, Sanchez is going to get momentum going into the game in New York. This worries me, as you guys were just talking, within conference and AFC games. Let me know, what do you think about that? Because, I mean, going into the playoffs, yes, we want home field. If we have to go somewhere for a playoff game, I'm not too... I'm very concerned that I don't think we're going to pull off a win.
Well, let me just put it to you like this, Craig, and thanks for the phone call. 508-298-0398. That's the Ace Ticket Hotline. I don't know, for everybody saying the Patriots, maybe a road game will be good for them in the playoffs, where have their two losses come this year? On the road. In Buffalo, and then this game in Pittsburgh. So, you know, for me, I don't agree with that point. On the first part from Craig, there's a breaking point with talent in this secondary. And I think you could have got away with cutting Merriweather or Sanders or Bodden. Like, I think you could have cut one of those guys and gotten away with it. And probably, you know, Sanders or Merriweather. I didn't think both of them had to go. You're thinner at corner in light of now Rashai Dowling being put on IR. But totally, you could have cut Merriweather or Sanders, kept the other guy, and been fine. I agree with that. But all three of them, like, at some point, there is a breaking point there. And Merriweather has just a laundry list of off-field issues. So that one made some sense.
In the Big Bang Club.
Sanders, to me, I was never blown away with him as a player. That one, to me, seemed more contractual than anything else. Now, again, did you have to make both moves? I don't think so. But you could sort of defend it at the time, or at least understand the rationale. I don't want to say defend it, but understand the rationale. All right, well, Merriweather's had all these problems off the field. And Sanders makes, what, the 10th highest cap number on the team or something like that? Cut him loose. Okay, fine. The Bodden one, to me, while his play had dropped off on the field, and it absolutely had, he's playing nowhere near where he did in 2009 coming back off the injury. Nowhere near it. And he had lost his job starting on the outside to Arrington. And you started hearing about that in the Cowboys game. That had started much before that. That started in the Oakland game, you know, where Bodden was demoted. And it was definitely in the Jets game. Arrington was starting on the outside. So some of it had to do with on the field. But with Bodden, they didn't cut him because he wasn't performing on the field, not 100% of it. You know, it was, all right, well, was he pulling in the same direction? That wasn't a talent thing with Bodden, in other words. Talent-wise, he is more talented than Antoine Molden. He's more talented than Phillip Adams. I think that's clear, and the coaching staff knows that. But I just think they've gone a little too far in the direction of chemistry. You know, if Bodden were really being a problem behind the scenes, and I don't know, I mean, we've heard some whispers that he was upset with the role and didn't like being a nickel corner and didn't like playing in sub packages, but is that a good enough reason to cut the guy and just outright cut him? I mean, if he's just not happy with his role, was he being that disruptive to the team that you had to get him out of there? Clearly Belichick thinks so. But you wonder now, after that secondary was picked apart, you wonder if they've altered their feelings on that at all. And not to say that Bodden, if he played, would have won the football game, but wouldn't he have given you a better chance than Antoine Molden or Phillip Adams? That one, to me, was a head-scratcher. And it goes right in line with Merriweather, goes right in line with James Sanders. All three of those cuts did not need to happen. That is something that is 100% on the coaching staff. And I don't know. I think a lot of Patriots fans look at that secondary now and go, man, like, what is that talent level in the secondary? Especially given how many guys they've drafted. How many picks they've made with the corners? Rashai Dowling, Terrence Wheatley, Darius Butler, all those guys. And I don't know, all three of them look pretty iffy. McCourty, to me, bad year too. And he struggled again today. That 3rd and 15 was just brutal. But to me, still on balance, that one looks like a hit. But there's a clear lack of talent in the secondary. Some of it's drafting and some of it is missing in free agency. And Bodden comes in that latter category. So the Patriots do fall to 5-2 and fall back in that AFC playoff picture. Steelers move to 6-2, now all alone atop the AFC as they take care of the Patriots 25-17. And again, the Patriots in a tie for first place, but the Bills do hold that tiebreaker by virtue of their victory earlier this year in Buffalo. Patriots will have the Giants next week at 4:15. We'll talk to you after that here on Patriots.com. My thanks to Matt LePan, also to Kevin Collins, and we'll talk to you next Sunday here on the Patriots postgame show.
This has been the Patriots postgame show with Adam Jones on Patriots.com radio. For more news, analysis, and reaction from today's game, tune into Patriots.com radio all week. Tuesday through Thursday, starting at noon, it's PFW in progress, Patriots playbook, and the Pete Shepherd Show. Next Sunday, the Patriots are back at home to take on the New York Giants. Kickoff is set for 4:15 p.m. from Gillette Stadium. Please stay tuned for the Patriots postgame show with Adam Jones immediately following the game. Log on to Patriots.com anytime for the most up-to-date news and information on your favorite team.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS.